Welcome, friends, to a brand new episode of Smoke 'Em If You Got 'Em. Pretty simple concept of this podcast. We're listening to an album, side A and side B. Here's the deal. You're going to roll one. You're going to smoke it up. Smoke 'em if you got 'em, right? We're going to listen to side A, come back and talk to us a little bit about it. Do the same thing for side B. Now, for today's record selection, I turn the microphone over to the Oracle of Oxford County, Jeremiah Charlton.
Yes, folks, today we are listening to Winter Songs by the band Art Bears. Mm-hmm. And we're in for a little wonderful time today, folks.
I think so, too.
Yes. Let's not even let them wait any longer. Let's just go on this journey together.
Yeah, check up Art Bears Winter Song.
Find
and
it.
Join us for side A.
Smoke it. Come back. Put the phone down. You know the rules, guys. Get into the music.
This is easy. All right. So the first chord on side A that is held for a little too long with the apocalyptic vocals and the dissonance making a beautiful song makes this an instant love affair.
Instant classic for you?
I couldn't
Have you heard any Art Bears before?
I've heard three or four clips of things via YouTube.
Okay. Anything off this album or no?
I saw them the 2010 reunion. And I heard them play like basically the B-side. Looking at the discography and the information, I saw it. I was like, okay. I was not ready for this A-side at all. My mind has been in other places. This is the coolest collection of random pieces of music made with a lot of care. It is songwriting, but the instrumentation is on the fringe. The playing is almost Broadway-esque, and it's just a different thing. It's Alice in Wonderland coming through you, and that's as clear as I can put it. Now, this is an English album, isn't it?
Well, halfway. You got the drummer and the guitarist are English. The singer's German. Dagmar Kraus.
Okay.
And she's from, there you go. She's from and a then, band called Slap Happy.
I was going to say, I know her from that. The rest of the personnel here is Fred Firth, obviously, which you'll talk about in depth a little bit, and Chris Cutler. This album is the definition of art rock, avant-garde rock. It is, you've never heard anything like this, but it still rocks super hard. A selection of short songs that are highly composed and not traditional by any means.
What's interesting to me is the compared to other albums we've gone through, this one really is songs, like you're saying. They're not really, it's not like a together, it's not like a, these are, they're not connected, you know, like, which is cool because we've been very much on that journey so far musically.
Yeah, we're talking about songs that are like at the most, whatever tops the dial might be, 3 minutes. So thinking about that versus what we've done where it's like 24, 40 minutes aside, whatever. These are actual songs. And again, they super rock. The album is the year of the album release,
79.
Okay, so 1979.
It's their second album.
It is in
album.
Your face. It's a second album. It's super in your face. It sounds,
did you enjoy her vocals?
Massive. I love the vocals. I love the violin. I love everything about these damn songs. You know what I'm hearing here reminds me of Henry Cow. Reminds me of it just reminds me of so many things at the same time, because even it reminds me of Jimi Hendrix too. Is there a standout track for you on side A?
Yes, there was a guitar solo on side A I gotta try to remember what song it was on, but there is a solo on side A that is just so nuts. It's so good.
For me, while you think about the name, Rats and Monkeys. Rats and Monkeys destroyed my soul. I think you're talking about, I'm looking at my notes here, I think you're talking about track number 4.
Okay.
It's the Summer Wheel. There's a break in the middle that's like a very, yeah, it's an interesting solo pass through, but the music is so big. But this is one of the things that I had to say. Like, this is the first album that we've heard for me that I haven't been able to differentiate parts because it's a sonic collection.
Did you like ears. The drumming?
I love the drumming, but again, I can't really differentiate the instruments. To me, everything comes out at the same time, you know? So everybody's really connected in the music, and I think that's why Rats and Monkeys stood out the most to me. If there was a punk song that these guys would have done in 79 in Switzerland, it would be this song.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it was the Summer Wheel.
Yeah, the Summer Wheel. It's right smack down the middle.
Sort of like overdriven feedback solo.
Complete fuzz. It sounds like it's stabbed through the speaker.
Yeah, I love that one. That's a great solo. It's probably the best guitar solo that we've listened to so far.
I agree. And at the same time, it's in a song that's, you know, a minute. I want to say minutes, maybe like 2 minutes, 3 minutes tops, which is a big departure from what we've heard.
I'm a big Chris Cutler fan. He's a drummer from Henry Cow and obviously Fred Frith from Henry Cow.
What do you like about him the best?
Because I find that he has a little bit of the avant-garde, like the jazz avant-garde sensibilities.
Right.
He's got that little bit of Milford Graves thing to the playing.
He has modern jazz ensemble all over.
Right. He has a little bit of that. And he has a little bit of, the guy from Captain Beefheart's band, the original drummer.
Oh, yeah. It feels, and I call that having to prove yourself drumming, where the people are great players, but every track they're going for it, you know?
Drumbo. Can't believe I couldn't remember. Drumbo.
There you go.
Yeah, he has a little bit of drumbo. Drumbo is like complexity way harder shit, but Chris Cutler has a little bit more like ability to improvise.
He's got bravado.
Well, he's not, like, there's a little bit more improvisation in that band too. You know, so.
But there's a lot of musicality all over the side, by the way. You know, I can't stress enough how important that first chord, the opening
sound. A lot of dissonance, folks.
But the moment that there's a second, folks, after 30 seconds that everything falls into place and your body kind of goes with the frequency and you get on a journey. I do want to talk about the artwork here because I think it's really important before we even get to the second side. The artwork reminded me a lot of Lizard by Crimson and that era of, you know, that era of artwork. It's really cool because I was looking around.
It's a bit deceiving because it's a pretty happy album cover. You think this is like a nice.
I was expecting a Canterbury record. And it's not that at all.
It's like a John Anderson solo record, but no. Dagmar Krause.
I love John Anderson, but yeah, it's a
rough around. I think it's a different dividing line. A lot of people do not enjoy her vocals. I don't mind them. I like them.
I like her vocals a lot, but I like Lily Lunch too. So you know, all these tracks were composed by Fred Firth and Chris Cutler. If you can describe a little bit about Frith's work, how would you describe it?
Very guitar player. Fred Frith is one of the best guitar players of all time because he's not conventional. He can go all the way from making sounds very avant-garde
and very well
and very like and lots of prepared guitar. He go that way to composing pretty complex modern classical music. So
that, yeah, and all at a high
yeah level. He's a really good improviser himself. I think he's, now there's a lot of guys like that sort of like come out of that group, post Derek Bailey guys, Keith Rowe, post Derek Bailey, Keith Rowe, will be
all these names you guys should be writing. They'll be
the original sort of avant-garde out guitar players. But if you've heard Henry Kaiser, Elliot Sharp, all these people that sort of came after Fred Frith,
you know,
one of those guys, Eugene Chadbourne, I put in there too. To me, I think Fred Frith can play he can play a bunch of different styles, but play uniquely in them. So not necessarily like a chameleon, you know what I'm saying? Like, but my point is, if the song is pretty, Fred Frith can make it pretty, but he's not going to make it conventionally pretty like how most normal guitar players would.
Yeah, I would say that most of his work with groups also reflects that.
Oh, I played with so many people. We didn't even talk about that.
So the music for Art Bears, to bring it back, since we're talking about the 1979 release, Winter Songs, I think one of the coolest things about these short, real, legit, like, songs was that they are challenging.
Yeah, always.
You know, they're idiosyncratic. Yeah. You know, there's some difficulty to them, but there's a turning point that you find yourself tapping your toe, because you fall into place and you break your own programming, which is the challenging but beautiful part about music that is made with this ridiculous genre of calling it something, but just people making music that is not, you know, a couple of chords and an ooh baby chorus. As much as I like that, this is a different exploration. Sometimes you need to not hear that, so you find coolness back in like simple.
Well, let's find some more coolness than on side two.
Yeah, let's go to the.
So you know the rules, folks. Don't
tell
them. Please don't wuss out here on us. Don't wuss out. Pick it up again. Pick it up. Smoke if you got them. Get that second side in you. Come back. We're gonna talk about it. Finish it up. So smoke if you got them, folks.
Okay. And we're back with Winter Songs, the 1979 second album for the Art Bears. This record
was a strong record.
I'll stand by what I said before. Challenging, unapologetic, bold, super rewarding to get through. This record was recorded and mixed in 14 days. And that's no easy feat. The songs on the B-side are so hardcore.
They're a little bit more darker than the first side.
Yeah, but in a different way. We're still not... I mean, it's not by any means is it a recall to the artwork here. Feeling beautiful and sunny and outside pastures and through regal arches. It's not at all. It's more complex, still it's still very much song oriented, right? But the concept does get a little bit darker on the B side, because there's no actual like real words, right? Mm-hmm. It sounds, I think it plays on to that thing that we've spoken about before, where you get to choose what's happening. And so I feel if the discomfort comes out, it comes out because of your own transgressions. I feel like
it's like the drone,
because there's
like
no real words. Yeah. Well, it's the equivalent of the drone, right? It hits you in a much more animal. It hits the brain in a different way. Okay. Sound gets divided in three parts, folks, three parts. For there to be a connection emotionally, the inner ear reacts. The drone affects the muscle and the canal. This vocal, this dark atmosphere affects the same exact thing in a different way because your whole brain rattles.
This is why we talk about putting the phone down, paying attention. Because a lot of times when you come across music that you're not like used to, or you find a little strange, like most people they escape it.
Easy to turn off.
So they're going to pick it up and they're going to go search something, sort of like avoid it. And sort of, you know.
Oh, please, something that feels good quickly.
So this one, again, I think it's her voice is the big turn off for most people.
I think those people are fucking idiots, right. Because there's a real beauty in that, and if you don't like that, you don't like
Gales.
If you don't like that, you don't like Montserrat Caballé. Yeah, if you don't like that, you don't like Lydia Lunch. If you don't, you know what? What you need to do is smoke a fatter one and come back to it at a different time, because you're doing it the wrong way. Okay. This record is one of those records with the side one, side two, as they named it. This is one of those albums that should be completely learned as a songbook and played, because it's powerful, it's super hip, and it's undeniable. You know, again, to create these concepts in a song-oriented, like challenging musical way, not just noise for the sake of noise, right?
Right.
That's a different ball game.
So this band is under the classification, the subgenre of rock and opposition.
Oh, interesting.
Have you ever heard that term before?
Please tell me more.
So
I've read it, but I don't know enough.
So the rock and opposition was like, it's funny that they call it that, because it's basically just like progressive rock bands that were in different countries that were basically too weird to be in other progressive rock bands. They figured, well, if we get them together, like, so the original bands were Henry Cow, Universe Zero, Etron, Fula Le Bon, Samla Mamas Mana, beautiful, and Stormy Six. Right, and so Henry.
That sounds like a hell of a party, by the way. That's
some of the best bands of all time. So, that's the original bands, and then Art Zoid, Art Bears, and Aksak Mobul joined later. That was
nice. Incredible.
Original bands, again, Henry Cow from England, Universe Zero, Belgium, Etron Fula Le Bon, France, Semlis Manas Mana, Sweden, Stormy Six, Italy. They figured if they all get together and they can do a little tour of Europe, you know, like they just thought they're going to push their local show as much as they can. And that's how they did it. Right.
And make it a package deal, like old Motown reviews, and get,
that was the goal. Anyways, they had a festival.
Did it work out?
Well, I'm sure it was great.
Okay. Well, I'm sure it was great too. I wish I was there.
I don't know how many people were there. But those are all some of the hippest bands of all time. Like
I bet you most of those people started bands that night as the old Sex Pistols, too. You know,
I would say we will do all of those bands at one time.
I feel comfortable enough for that, because this album definitely drives us to experiencing more of the rock and opposition movement. First of all, props on the name. Come on.
Correct.
Rock and opposition. That's such a good one. But we're not here to talk about rock and opposition right now.
We're talking about art bears. And the founders are... Chris Cutler is the founder of rock and opposition, who's the drummer.
There you go.
So okay. The last thing I want to tell you about that, what's interesting, was, again, as you know, especially back then, the record business was so big companies, you know, and their subsidiaries, right?
Yeah.
And there was a lot of them compared to now. There's only like a couple, but still was big, big, big record companies. And it was very hard to be a true independent artist, right? Yeah. Like, you could have your own independent, but you were, again, getting pushed by whatever, Mercury or whoever, right? So, like, mm-hmm. Sun Ra was one of the first guys. Mingus was one of the first guys, too. This is in jazz. We're talking above your heads now, folks. But Rock and Opposition was one of the first groups that were like, fuck it, we're going to put out our own albums on top of everything else, right? So,
yeah. See, that's... It's super always cool. About the people that have the most amount of creativity, that are the hippest, that just correct. Go, you know what? I don't, you know, that reminds me of people like Magma and Sleepy Time Gorilla Museum. Those, but they're just like, we're just going to keep on putting stuff mm-hmm. out. And whatever happens, happens. If it sticks, it sticks. If it doesn't, we're just doing what we're doing, you know?
Yeah, and Fritz is like, he's been in, he's like in Mills College in San Francisco. Like, he's been a guitar, head guitar instructor over there for quite a while.
Well, you know, he can do whatever the hell he wants. He's a challenging fellow that can really bring good, it. But as I look good, at the time.
He'd be a good guitar.
A good one.
He'd be a good guitar instructor for college, you know?
I would love for him to tell me how to prepare some of those guitars. He was one of the wackiest, crazy, most cool prepared guitars.
Like, what ever. If he didn't know? Like, but that, that's a story. Let's go. Let the fans have a little thought process go with us here. You're a 18-year-old guitar kid, and you know, like, obviously in high school, you're most likely you're going to be in the jazz band, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, you probably most. Guitar player. Now it's different these days, right? Because I'm older now. So, but let's go back to my. I'll just talk about if it was me. So you're most likely like a sort of metal semi shredder, who then they force you to go to the jazz band, right? So like you learn a couple of chords, yeah. And like you halfway do a jazz solo, and then you make it to this Mills College, and so like you're thinking, oh, I'm gonna play like. West Montgomery, man. And then like your guitar teacher is Fred Frith, and he has the guitar on a fucking table hitting it with chopsticks and rocks
and rubber mallets
and guitar sticks.
Yep. You can find me in that class. So happy to be there. So happy.
Why did I learn all these chords?
and then Fred Frith just looks at you and starts laughing. Yeah. Hysterically. Yeah. Well, this was a great record to listen to. I you know, great job for today. Thank you very much. But as I look at the time,
it's time to go.
It's time to get the hell out of here. So,
folks, smoke if you got them tomorrow. We'll
catch you on the flip side.
Peace.